Hello and welcome to Real Geeks Presents The Beer Roll, our rehashed show for Fridays so that we can give you twice as much Real Geeks every week, and mostly so that Mike and I can have a place to stick our talking about bullshit content.
Oh, yeah, no, this is, like, officially the most consistent segment of Real Geeks because it's still, we don't know what the fuck we're going to do with it, and we don't care.
Yep. It's going to be a little bit of news. It's going to be a little bit of bitching. It's going to be a little bit of maybe reviewing things that we saw and going, oh, hey, you know what I watched the other day? Capricorn 3. What the fuck? I, as usual, am Crash and Burn, and with me, as always, is Mike Montgomery.
Hey, hey, hey.
And in case you somehow missed, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars. And it was one of those things where it's like, you hear about it and you're like, no, no, that's, you know, it's the Oscars. They do performative stuff. So I'm sure it was nothing. And then you watch it and you go, okay, that's interesting. And then you watch it with like audio from outside North America where it was heavily edited. And you hear Will Smith scream,
keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
Whoa, okay. And people go, okay, where the hell did this come from? 0 to 60. And for those paying attention to the Smiths and Jada's shows and everything, this isn't 0 to 60. This is slow boiled over years, reaching a crescendo that just happened to be in front of the largest audience they possibly could have had.
Now, I think before we go super deep into this or anything, I just want to say, first of all, and while I'm sure you're going to agree with me, I don't specifically want to speak for you, Crash. No matter what we say from this point forward, in no way are we defending Will Smith's actions.
No, we're not condoning it. In many ways, I can see as a comedian how one could get punched in the face for a joke that you tell. Because, hey, every now and then you tell a joke and it happens. And at the same time, I can see the logic behind talk shit, get hit. But,
yeah,
there's a time, there's a place. It's not acceptable in either of those times or places. And the only real reason you kind of get away with it without, you know, at least some light assault charge is the fact that, A, Will Smith is possibly one of the most famous people in that room full of famous people. B, lots and lots of money. C, they just gave him the best actor and that'd be embarrassing as shit. But yeah, no condoning.
And I also did want to ask first, just for the sake of my own curiosity, I am wondering, do you have as many armchair psychiatrists and behavior analysts in your social media circles as I apparently do?
I have quite a few. Thankfully, I've cut most of them out and replaced them with media experts. So instead of attempting to deep dive into what it means for Will psychologically, everyone was trying to figure out what it means for their IP awareness. Who's going to come out on top in terms of the bigger sympathy numbers? What are we talking about here in terms of gross clicks? And yes, they're all gross clicks.
Oh, yeah, totally. At the very least, we are honest about the fact that we're doing this for the traffic.
Yeah, I mean, like, ultimately, I'm going to put Chris Rock and Will Smith into the description of this episode, and that's going to result in more clicks than if I do not. That's just how this works, and it's the same reason for why every time there's a Marvel film, some old director pops up and goes, oh, well, back in my day, and it's because they're trying to release a film, too, and the only way to get clicks anymore is to bitch about the thing that gets clicks. And in this case, whether you like it or not, the only way to have a conversation about the slap is to essentially engage with the slap. You have to look at it from the slap's perspective. what does the slap feel? But, like, you know, you have to look at it from Will Smith's perspective. Not necessarily deep dive into trying to figure out what drives Will Smith. Apparently it's Will Smith from what his actual psychologist has said. But you do have to at least look at his side of it. And by his side, I mean Jada's side.
On my end, I think the simple fact is there seems to be this desperate need to have a hero and a villain in this story.
I mean, it is Hollywood. This is technically the most morally complicated thing we have ever seen at the Oscars.
Oh, yeah, like by miles. Something that I did notice, I think it is very important to notice the simple fact that Rock made the choice right then and there to make that joke.
Yeah, and what's more, you know, like speaking of as someone who has been on stage and annoyed people while on stage, the moment Will Smith got out of his chair, Chris Rock knew what was about to happen.
Oh, I honestly half expect that he knew before that. Mm. Yes, I am kind of accidentally dipping my toe into conspiracy theory territory here. but something I noticed rewatching the clip was it seems like he gets through the joke right before that about Penelope Cruz and Javier Bardem, pauses as if he's about to go into the list of nominees, and then kind of spots Jada and rethinks it, then hits the joke, and here I say joke in quotations.
Yeah.
And from there, almost tries to go into the list of nominees as fast as he can, because now he's poked the bear that is the Smiths, and is trying to move on as fast as he can.
Yeah, and maybe he just made a split-second mistake, you know, a disastrous mistake that ended in him getting smacked. Because, yeah, he can't possibly say he didn't know it upset them, because Jada Pinkett Smith has been very clear in the past that specifically Chris Rock making these jokes upsets her. And he's crapped on her before and made her the target, specifically when she wasn't there and Will wasn't there. And everyone kind of just, you know, they laugh at it and they move on. And it's like, quite frankly, it wasn't a fair joke. It wasn't a necessary joke. I suspect it wasn't approved either.
I don't think the Academy has officially said this, but there's a lot of sources say that joke was not in the script. It did not appear in rehearsal. Showtime was the one and only instance where he pulled that out.
That simple fact is why ultimately the Academy is going to give Will Smith more leeway than necessarily, because none of it was part of the plan. Therefore, you're having a legitimate emotional reaction. Like,
yeah.
So the Academy is looking at kicking Will Smith out. This has only happened to, I believe, 5 or 6 people in the past, or at least currently. There are 5 people who are banned from the Academy. One of them helped pirate a ton of material. Like, hey, you fucked with the bread and butter of the entire industry. You're out. Another was convicted of a sex offense. That's the thing. So one was like sex offense, a lesser sex offense. And I'm saying that to contextualize, because the remaining 3 are Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, and Roman Polanski, who are outright rapists.
Yeah.
So I look at the Academy being like, oh, maybe we'll have to kick Will Smith out for this. And it's like, are you seriously saying that this is on the same level as 3 convicted rapists, a convicted sex offender, and a guy who undermined the entire economy of your industry? How this will work out, no one's too sure. Maybe by next week's episode, we'll have some idea of Will Smith's future. But I know that Hollywood has not canceled any of his projects.
No doubt you have as well. I've seen calls for Smith's Oscar to be taken away. And, like, One, I think that's going way too far. The two incidents are not related, and he did legitimately earn it.
Yeah.
Now, this may result in him, say, not being allowed to be in contention for future nominations for a couple of years, maybe. But I would also note that Whoopi Goldberg, who is, I believe, on the Academy's like executive committee, did just straight up say on the View that no, they're not going to take his Oscar.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, and quite frankly, it would only embarrass them, since it's not like, oh, we gave this guy an Oscar a while ago, he did something horrible, we're rescinding it. No, we gave him the Oscar 20 minutes after he slapped Chris Rock in front of the same audience. Like, that couldn't have gone better for Will Smith and worse for the Academy.
Like, Will is going to be fine. Chris is clearly already going to be fine.
His special's trending on HBO again, yeah. So he's fine. It's fine. Someone who is less than fine, unfortunately. Sad news, indeed.
Bruce Willis's family has announced that he's had to retire from acting due to a diagnosis of aphasia, which is a condition that affects the brain's ability to process language and so forth. So needless to say, he's not really going to be able to act anymore.
No, and for anyone who's been paying attention to Bruce Willis's content for the last, say, 2.5 years or so, there's been what people have been complaining about, a marked decrease in quality and a marked increase in content. And for the last couple, I want to say 6 to 8 months, people have been wondering what the fuck's behind that. It's one thing for Bruce Willis to choose a bad project. It's happened before. We've all avoided seeing Cop Out. It was a terrible film. He is capable of making terrible films. And so it was presumed that, oh, he's just in a terrible film phase. Then he'll do something awesome again, like Unbreakable or Pulp Fiction, and he'll be back. And it was starting to work around the industry that there actually may be a health reason, which is why a lot of movie reviewers and critics actually pulled way the hell back on Bruce Willis. And it's just been this like incremental thing that you can tell something was coming, because you don't put out a ton of crap and not get called out on it. Everyone knows something except for the audience. And now the audience knows.
Of course, when the Oscar nominations were announced, the Razzie nominations were also announced, where they announced a special category that was as just the worst Bruce Willis performance of 2021, where it was nothing but Bruce Willis movies.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, the Razzie's having a really bad time the last, I want to say, half decade, where everyone has turned against them and they're just seen as kind of dicks now. But, like, there's being a dick, and then there's accidentally timing yourself into becoming the biggest asshole in a night where Will Smith slapped a man on stage.
The reason that I wanted to bring Bruce Willis in was because they are actually rescinding Bruce Willis's Razzies.
Yeah, yeah.
As well as for Shelley Duvall.
Yes, which frankly they never, like, it's always been a crime that they gave Shelley Duvall a Razzie for essentially being abused by Stanley Kubrick into giving a performance that people still talk about 50 years later. Like, but god damn it, the Razzies have never cared about context, have they?
No. To me, this is just one of those, wow, the Razzies did a nice thing. This kind of just needs to be highlighted.
Yeah, and it only took the unfortunate loss of one of the best action stars of the latter half of the 20th century, the man who redefined action heroes away from Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone into the everyman.
Yeah.
I think in the years to come, we're going to get a really fantastic revival of his work, specifically the best of his work. And it's going to be seen that actually Bruce Willis was quite possibly one of the more daring, inventive, and interesting leading men of the 20th century.
Even if you were to just look at his straight-to-video releases, I've got to figure even there, there are going to be titles down the line that people discover and go, oh, actually, this is good.
Yeah, actually, with that said, watch Hudson Hawk. Go right now, find on streaming or download Hudson Hawk. You won't have a good time, but you will have a fun time.
Yeah. Deadline is reporting Emily Gordon is set to write and John M. Chu is circling to direct an animated picture for E1 and Hasbro, the Play-Doh movie.
Oh, God, that's either going to be amazing or fucking terrible. Like, yeah, no, that could go incredible, like the Lego film, or yeah, it could just become complete fucking trash. Like, ah, Christ, I can't even actually remember. The Trolls movies? Yeah, the Trolls movies.
Oh, yeah, like, when you first hear me say the Play-Doh movie, no doubt your first thought is, why? But I think this could very easily go the same route as the Lego movie, where it's basically, you're just taking this product and doing whatever you want with it.
If you have someone who is really, really into the concept and really runs with it, you can attach any storyline to this and just have it play out through the medium of Play-Doh. That could be fantastic. But it can just be trite shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're alive. What's wrong with you, Mark?
Why did you call me Mark?
It must be very difficult.
The voice in your head.
Shut up!
There's chaos in you.
This week saw the release of Moon Knight by Disney and Marvel on Disney Plus. It's another one of their six-part long-form series that's not quite television, not quite a movie, but essentially gives you everything you need. I caught it. You caught it. I was really impressed. I was expecting it to be good because I pay attention to the fact that Marvel has not done me wrong, which seems to be an amazing concept, apparently. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought Oscar Isaac did a great performance. I thought it was riveting to start with, like to get the audience into a character that practically no one is into except for nerds who are really into Moon Knight. Like, you either don't know shit about Moonlight or you are way too into Moon Knight.
Oh, yeah, and with Moon Knight specifically, I think even then you may not truly know Moon Knight, because there have been so many iterations, continuity changes, reboots. Like, you could literally just roll a 20-sided dice, pick a Moon Knight origin, or even just make something up, and you're probably still not wrong.
Yeah, like, on paper, this is a nightmare character to try to translate into on screen, because, as I said, like, audiences don't know him. Even if you do know him, you're picking, okay, which one of these is the least insane? And then they decide to go with, fuck it, let's hit the most insane. So I'm really fascinated to see where this goes.
You know what? But with you saying that and seeing the quality that we had in this first episode, I'm kind of hoping that this is going to be another story of Marvel essentially redeeming someone who did a terrible Marvel property with another studio, and then came into the MCU and just struck gold, because we have, and amazing how this keeps connecting to the same character, but we of course had Chris Evans, who went from Johnny Storm to Captain America, And then you had Michael B. Jordan, who went from Johnny Storm to Kilgrave.
Yeah, like, they know how to recognize talent. They do know that, like, a bad performance or a bad performing film doesn't mean necessarily that anyone in it is bad. Thank God. But
yeah,
I am interested to see when this eventually explodes in their face. And I know people have been saying that for, like, what are we on, year 14? 13? When did Iron Man come out? 2008?
Yep, it was 2008.
And so, yet,
yeah, about 14 years now.
The worst they can manage still was Thor Ragnarok, which they kind of, they saved in Endgame in a way. They redeemed Thor Ragnarok. Iron Man 2, which was redeemed immediately by the Avengers, duh.
Yep.
And Eternals, which is so recent that people don't see where, like, how it's going to pan out and be redeemed. And even then, it's like, was it a bad film? No, it was just a little slow. Oh, really? The comic property that is essentially Jack Kirby doing 2001 A Space Odyssey was slow? Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, like, personally, I can't even call Eternals one of Marvel's worst properties just because I found the worst thing that I could say about it was that it should have been a Disney Plus series instead of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's in that Ant-Man-esque kind of mid-range spot. To get back to Moon Knight, I know that we're just one episode in, but I'm already finding myself comparing Oscar Isaac's performance here with another upcoming Marvel's star's work in another Disney Plus series. And here I'm referring to Tatiana Maslany, who, if you're going to compare someone playing multiple personalities or multiple versions of a character to anybody, you're going to be comparing them to her work on Orphan Black. And just what we saw here, Isaac has me intrigued enough that I almost want to see him and Maslany in something together where they're basically playing 90% of the characters themselves just to see what would happen.
I bet they would do amazing stage work together.
Oh, no doubt.
It's two people who have fantastic chemistry. I'm looking forward to more.
Oh yeah.
And like, yeah, I went into this. Now, I'm a fairly educated comic book nerd. There are few aspects that I don't nerd out about far too much and know far too many details of. Moon Knight's one of them. I could never get into the character. When I was working at Frank Magazine, one of the coworkers there attempted to get me into it. And I couldn't. Nothing about it reached me. I'm not interested in seeing Egyptian Batman. But that's the wrong way to sell the character. This isn't Egyptian Batman. This isn't Marvel's version of Batman. It's more interesting than that. I don't know what to call it right now, but this is more interesting than fucking Batman.
I actually have this series in terms of my own anticipation. It was kind of the same level that I had with Captain Marvel, where my knowledge of the character is extremely limited, and I'm just looking forward to just seeing this character that I don't know, so I don't really know their stories, I don't know what's coming. And doubly so with Moon Knight, because at one point, like, the character was literally Marvel's Batman. At another point, Moon Knight actually had superpowers that were derived from the god Khonshu. At another point, he had powers that came from, like, the phases of the moon. So there's the additional just looking forward to seeing what bits and pieces they're going to pull from which version.
Yeah, and how they'll rework one aspect that they don't decide to include in this version of the character. But since they have mentioned that, like, oh, these are all avatars of the Ennead. And to be clear, Black Panther's one of them. Black Panther is the avatar of Bast or Bastet. So this is a character that is literally in the same pantheon as Black Panther, and therefore should be considered in the same way of, like, this is just a Moon Knight. There was another Moon Knight before that Moon Knight, and there was a Moon Knight before that Moon Knight.
The first thing that you're giving the viewers is someone breaking a glass, pouring the shards into their sandals, then putting on the sandals and walking off. So in a space of about 2 minutes, you've instantly given your viewer that, what the hell is happening right now? Yeah. I need more.
Yeah, that was a fantastic way to hook in. Though, sorry to disappoint our listeners. That wasn't anything special. That was just Ethan Hawke doing a thing that is very popular in the South Shore. That's just how you start your morning in Shelburne. He picked that up from some locals. Don't worry about it. Be afraid if he taught it to Robert Pattinson. That's where you got to be worried about.
Oh, God. And when you add in the fact that I think Hawk has done work up here.
Oh, he lives here. Ethan Hawk lives in Shelburne.
I was not aware.
Or rather, just outside Shelburne. Yeah, Ethan Hawk has lived here since, I want to say, the early 2000s. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I straight up did not know that, because I was just going to say that joke becomes funnier when you realize that it is very, very possible.
Oh, yeah. No, I know people who have, like, they've walked into local bars down there, and it's like, yeah, there's Ethan Hawke. Anyway, moving on. Because he lives there. He's just a guy who lives in this fucking rural town on the South Shore of Nova Scotia, who happens to be an Academy Award-winning actor.
Oh, especially with the state of our film industry, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Even just this one episode, there is no Moon Knight for 98% of it, but they're doing such a good job with Steven's dissociative identity disorder that you don't... It's a Moon Knight show that does not yet need Moon Knight.
It's not necessary yet.
Like, I'm sorry, but that's impressive as hell, because they've created a character that is just so easy to relate to, because you're just as scared and confused as he is.
Yeah, it's a brilliant way to start. Some people have complained that it's confusing. It's like, good. Then that means that you're asking questions, and when we pile in a bunch of nonsense about, like, the Egyptian gods having power in the real world, you're not going to be like, okay, but what about, you're just going to go, oh, thank God, there's information, there's an answer.
Yeah, it's like, congratulations, your complaints mean you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing by connecting with this character. I think the last thing that should be noted is just how, for lack of a better word, obsessed director, I believe his name is Mohamed Diab, and just how obsessed he is with properly representing Egypt in this series, because he has called out the DCEU for just how massively they have fucked up with it.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of him going at Black Adam for essentially occurring now in Karak instead of Egypt. And it's like, yeah, that's legit, in an attempt to remove themselves from, like, a time and a place and politics. Back in the 80s, DC came up with the Nation of Karak and Kandak and Khmeristan, I believe. There's a whole like Middle East section there, and they used it to essentially escape controversy so long that is now controversial, because they're now ignoring the actual identities and voices from that region. And whereas it used to be, oh, we're writing for North American audiences, no one in Egypt's going to be reading this, people in Egypt are now reading these comics and going, the fuck is Kandak?
Oh, yeah. But also, I had specifically heard more about him calling out Wonder Woman 84.
Ooh, yeah.
Which had scenes in Egypt, but there that it seemed to be that country seemed to be ruled by a sheik, which in Egypt, not a thing.
Because that's not Egypt. That is Khmeristan or Kandak. And yeah, like, they're really bad at making that clear in the film, because your mind immediately goes, oh, there's some pyramids. That must be Egypt. They're dressed like Egyptians. That must be Egypt. And at no point does the film actually say, this is not Egypt. It's a separate country that we had to make because we didn't want to actually use Egypt. But that becomes super fucking problematic when you try to inject the politics of the region. We are well off topic. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this first new episode of Real Geeks Presents the B-Roll. Mike, that was a lot of fun. What'd you think?
You know what? As much as that was a blast, dear Hollywood, could we please spread out the controversy?
More controversy. I want someone to throw Martin Scorsese off a bridge. Throw Martin Scorsese off a bridge. Not anything against you, Marty. I just know that it'll get hits. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, share, and subscribe. Visit us on YouTube at Geeks vs. Nerds. And check out our podcast available on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, and just ever so many other places.
Basically, hit the search engine on your favorite podcatcher, and we're probably there.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there, and we'll be here next week with more insane movie reviews, ridiculous news, and slap-happy happiness.
Feel free to drop us a line at realgeeksHFX@gmail.com, especially with this episode, because quite frankly, we are two white people who just spent a very large amount of time discussing a situation involving three people of color. So if you have perspective or anything you want to drop in, for the love of God, please do not hesitate to email us.
By all means, put us in our place. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.